All right, let's take our Bibles and turn back to 2 Chronicles, chapter 30. 2 Chronicles 30. I'm going to just pick up right where I left off. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 1 to 5. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover until the Lord God of Israel. For the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month. For they could not keep it at that time because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently. Neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. So they established a decree to make a proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem, for they had not done it for a long time in such sort as it was written. The people, as we just studied, had become complacent in the punctual worship of God. Passover, turn to Exodus, hold your place, turn to Exodus 12. Passover was to be consistently observed according to the Lord's timing. Exodus 12, it was to be a memorial to the Lord drawing them out of Egypt, delivering them. Picture of being delivered from the bondage of sin. Exodus 12, verse 18. That's what Scripture says. The Lord gave Moses instruction in the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. And that's when it was to be held, in that first month. But if for reason, turn to Numbers 9. If for reason of uncleanness, the Scripture says, the Passover could be observed at the appointed time, the law made a provision to observe it in the second month. Numbers 9, verse 9, 10, 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, you speak to the children of Israel, saying, if any man of you or your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body or in a journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord the 14th day of the second month. At even they shall keep it and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. What mercy. Hezekiah, Scripture says, back in 2 Chronicles 30, the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem keep the Passover the second month. They couldn't keep it at that time because priests had not sanctified themselves. So the Lord allowed them, gave them mercy, grace, to take it and have it in the second month. Verses 6 to 9, so the post, Hezekiah said, I want you to go out. We're going to, the remembrance of the Passover, of what God has done for his people. That's when that blood was shed, that sacrifice was made, the blood was applied on the doorpost, top of the door, lintels. God passed through. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Hezekiah said, we're going to remember that. We're going to remember that. And God made provision for us to have it in the second month. That's what we're going to do. So he sent out the post, the runners, verse 6 to 9. So the post went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, according to the commandment of the king, saying, you children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. And be not like your fathers, like your brethren, which trespassed against the Lord of his fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as you see. Be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. If you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren, your children, shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious, merciful. He will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him. What a blessed spirit and desire for faithfulness unto the Lord, which was found in the mouth and the heart of this king, Hezekiah. He admonished the people of Judah, but he said he was a king of Judah, but also of Israel. Verse 6, that's what it said. The post went with the letters from the king throughout all of Israel and Judah. Brethren, listen, we've all sinned. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Lord has a people. We don't know who they are. Hezekiah said, you turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. He'll return to the remnant of you. This is the message. This is the message that we preach. People accuse. I've said this before. People accuse and say, you don't believe in whosoever will. Oh, I beg your pardon. We absolutely believe that. Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the bride say, come, let him that heareth come, let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. God's got a people. And here's the problem. Man by nature don't want to come. He don't want to. He don't want to. But if God's given a man, a woman, a want to, I'm saying W-A-N-T, want. If he gives them a heart that wants to come, it's because he made you willing in the day of his power. Scripture declares Micah 7. I'll read this to you. Verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. I'm so glad. I'm so thankful we can read that. How many times have I thought to myself, you that know him, you know what I'm saying right here. Lord, why would you show mercy to somebody like me? So unfaithful. So wavering. I like the sea, the waves. Just no consistency. He delighteth in mercy. Lord, show mercy to one like me. Back in 2 Chronicles 30, verse 10 and 11. And so the post passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even into Zebulun. But they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Nevertheless, divers of Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Boy, how true we find this to be with us. Many that hear the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace. What do I mean when I say that? I mean I'm not offering you anything to be acted upon by your will. I'm going to tell you this is what God's going to do. God's going to save his people. He's going to save them. He laid down his life. God, the Father, chose a people in Christ. Christ died for those people, and the Spirit of God is going to call those people. That's the truth. Salvation is sure. It's sure. It's not iffy. If it's left up to me or you, it's iffy. What if I don't want to come because I don't want to? What if God wants to save me and I don't want him to? You know what? Then he's not God. He said, I do as I will. Some of them, they heard this. They went out there. Hezekiah sent these posts, these runners. He said, you go tell them that we're going to worship God here. You go tell them. You tell them to come. We're going to have the Passover in the second month. And they went there, and some of them mocked them. Oh, but there were some that didn't. There were some that didn't. There were some that Almighty God was pleased to call out. Look at verse 12. Also Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and the princes by the word of the Lord. How beautiful. We read of the reason for those that came. The reason they wanted to come. Why was that again? Let me see why it was also in verse 12. 2 Chronicles 30:12. And in Judah the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandments. The commandment of the king and the princes by the word of the Lord. God gave them a heart. You that came today because you wanted to come today. Why'd you come? You say, I wanted to. Who gave you the want to? Scripture says the hand of God gave them a heart to want to come. If you wanted to come today, it's by the grace of God Almighty. Verse 13, 14. And there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month. Very great congregation. And they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem. All the altars of incense took they away and cast them into the brook Kidron. People who believe, they assembled themselves together. And they physically did what is set forth. But, you know, that's just like we looked at last time. They took away all those false altars and they cast them into the brook Kidron. You know, how many of us that know the Lord see in us and desire to see those things in us that Paul said he warred against? He said, I see in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. Oh, wretched man, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? All of us have things that we desire to be cast into Kidron, cast upon the Lord Jesus Christ who paid the debt of them. Look at verses 15 to 20. Then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month. And the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings into the house of the Lord. And they stood in their place after their manner, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priests sprinkled the blood which they received of the hand of the Levites. There were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. Therefore, the Levites had the charge of killing of the Passovers for everyone that was not clean, to sanctify them unto the Lord. For a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar, Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, and yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the good Lord pardon everyone that prepareth his heart to seek God and the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. There were people there that had not cleansed themselves according to the commands of the law. And they took the Passover. Hezekiah prayed for them. Lord, forgive them. Lord, forgive them. When the Lord Jesus Christ was hanging on that cross, and there was people there, and they were railing on him, wagging their heads. He said, yeah, he healed others. Can't heal himself. Come down. If you be the Son of God, come down. Mocked him. What did the Lord say? Remember what he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, I got a question. Turn to John 17. Who was he praying for? When he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. There were some in there that were just railing and mocking him and laughing at him. John 17, 9. Here's the Lord praying his high priestly prayer. I'm going to read verses 7, 8, and 9. Now they have known. I'm going to start at verse 6. I'm sorry. I've manifested thy name unto the men that thou gavest me out of the world. Okay, I know that God's given him some people out of the world. Thine they were. Thou gavest them me. They've kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. And I've given unto them. Who now? Those that the Lord gave him out of the world. I've given unto them the words that thou gavest me. They've received them. They have known surely that I came out from thee. They have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ prayed at Calvary, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. For whom was he praying according to John 17? Those that the Father had given him out of the world. Are you telling me that there were some people there that were mocking him, that were given him by the Father? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Why were they mocking him? He hadn't revealed himself to them yet. He would. And he was praying for them. Because he said, I don't pray for the world. I pray for those you've given me out of the world. So here, the scripture sets forth. Back in 2 Chronicles 30, 18 to 20 again. Many, for a multitude of the people, even Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves. Yet did they eat the Passover. Otherwise, it is as it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for him, saying, good Lord, pardon everyone that prepares his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord hearkened. The Hezekiah, yeah, who's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest. He hearkened to him, and he healed the people. Oh, I'm so thankful that we have one that prays for us. Whoever liveth to make intercession for us, I need praying for. Verse 21-27, children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. And Hezekiah speak comfortably unto all the Levites that taught good knowledge of the Lord, and they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. And the whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days. They kept other 7 days with gladness. For Hezekiah, king of Judah, did give to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep. And the princes gave to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep. And a great number of priests sanctified themselves, and all the congregation of Judah. And the priests and the Levites and all the congregation that came out of Israel and the strangers came out of the land of Israel that dwelt in Judah rejoiced. So there was a great day. So there was great joy, in Jerusalem. For since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. Then the priests, the Levites, rose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard. Their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. Reading these last verses of that scripture right there, the believer in the Lord Jesus can truly, by faith, enter to the joy that was expressed there in Jerusalem when the Lord was pleased to revive his own, to restore, as David prayed, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. We are prone to be complacent. And we need a stirring up. A stirring up. Stir up, that's what Paul said. Stir up the gift that's in you. 2 Chronicles 31. Now when all this was finished, all Israel that were present went out to the cities of Judah and brake the images in pieces and cut down the groves and threw down the high places, the altars out of the Judah and Benjamin and Ephraim and Manasseh until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned, every man to his possession, into his own cities. Now here we come to briefly consider this last chapter for today, and it's refreshing just to behold the evidence of the Lord stirring the hearts of his people, their spirits, and moved the Spirit of God, moved the psalmist in Psalm 85:6, will thou not revive us again? Will thou not quicken us and recover us and restore to life or health that thy people may rejoice in thee? The people had been prepared of God. They exhibited that the mercy and compassion that had been shown them. They went out into the cities and they just started tearing down the rest of all the remains of that idolatry and those things that were precious to the carnal heart. And they possessed the same heart that Paul the Apostle said. He said, I considered everything that I trusted in as dung. And then in verses 2 to 19 of 2 Chronicles, and Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites after their courses, every man according to his service, the priests, the Levites for burnt offerings and peace offerings to minister and give thanks to the praise in the gates, the tents of the Lord. And he appointed also the king's portion, his substance, for the burnt offerings, to wit, for the morning and evening burnt offerings, and the burnt offerings and the Sabbaths, for the new moons, for the set feast. It was as it is written in the law of the Lord. Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priest and the Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. What he's saying right there, he commanded them. He said these priests and these Levites that had been complacent, that had been embarrassed by the way that they had been so lax, he said, I want them taken care of. And he said, verse 5, and as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance of the first fruits of corn, wine, oil, honey, all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep and the tithe of holy things. And they were consecrated unto the Lord God and laid them by heaps, by sheaves. They started stacking it all up. In the third month, they began to lay the foundation of the heaps and finished them in the seventh month. And when Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people of Israel. Then Hezekiah questioned the priests and Levites concerning the heaps, and they brought in so much. And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we've had enough to eat and have left plenty. For the Lord had blessed his people, and that which is left is this great store. Then Hezekiah commanded to prepare the chambers in the house of the Lord, and they prepared them. They brought in the offerings and the tithes and dedicated things faithfully, over which Kononiah the Levite was ruler, and Shimei his brother was the next, and Jehiel and Azariah and Nathan and Azahel and Jeremoth and Josabad and Eliel and Ishmaiah and Mahath and Benaiah were overseers under the hand of Kononiah and Shimei his brother at the commandment of Hezekiah the king and Azariah the ruler of the house of God and Korah the son in Onah the Levite, the porter toward the east, was over the freewill offerings of the Lord of God to distribute the oblations of the Lord and the most holy things. And next to him was Eden and Men, Jeshua, Shimea, Amariah, and Shechaniah in the cities, the priest in their set office to set their brethren by courses as well to the great as well to the small, beside their genealogy of males from 3 years old and upward, even unto everyone that entereth into the house of the Lord, his daily portion for their servants in their charges according to their courses, both to the genealogy of the priest by the house of their fathers, the Levites, 20 years old and upward, in their charges by their courses, to the genealogy of all the little ones, their wives, their sons, their daughters, throughout all the congregation in their set office. They sanctified themselves in holiness. Also of the sons of Aaron, the priests were in the fields, the suburbs of their cities, in every several city, guarded city, by the men that were expressed by name to give portions to all the males among the priests and to all that were reckoned by genealogies among the Levites. What the Lord did, he told them, he said, I want you to start, I've commissioned these men, I've called them, these are the Levites, these are the priests, to do the work that I've called them to. And I want you to bring in, I want you to take care of them. This is what God's called them to do. And you take care of them. And Hezekiah came in, they started bringing stuff in. And Hezekiah said, what is all this stuff? And the priest told him, he said, since you sent out that commission, he said, this is what's been brought in. This is everything that we've gotten. It's more abundant than anything that you could possibly imagine. And all this stuff here, and it was enough for all of them. And so they're the ministers we're taking care of. And then the scripture says, in the last, all had been done before when Ahaz, I'm going to wrap it up right here. Ahaz, Hezekiah's father, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not that which was right. That's what Scripture said. There was a failure to preach the gospel. There was a failure to proclaim the glorious name of the Lord Jesus Christ the way that God had set forth that it would be done. Hezekiah came in and God gave him a heart. You know that. That's the only reason he did what he did. He did that which was right. There was no difference in Hezekiah and Ahaz, his daddy, but for the grace of God. He had a heart and he said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to worship God. Just like Joshua said, you choose you this day what you're going to do. For me and my family, we're going to worship God. That's not the resolve of a carnal man. That's the resolve of a man that God's given a new heart. And Hezekiah said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to keep the Passover just like God told us to do. And he sent those posts out. Some people rejected them and laughed them to scorn, but some didn't. By the grace of God, they came in. They all came together to observe the Passover, the remembrance of the deliverance of God. And this is what we do every time we come together. We're going to proclaim the gospel. There's going to be a remembrance of the deliverance of God's people out of the bondage of sin, darkness, unbelief. And he told them, he said, you take care of these guys. They did. They started bringing more stuff. They had stuff. They had food and they had everything for everybody. 20 and 21. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and he prospered. He prospered. According to his word, his faithfulness to his Father, this was the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, My meat, my desire, what I feast on. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and finish his work. The scripture says that Hezekiah prospered. He prospered. Scripture says concerning the Lord, he shall not fail. How do we know that he prospered in all that he did? When he hung on the cross, cried with a loud voice, it is finished. Bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. I pray that the Lord bless the preaching of the gospel. Bless it to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and the calling out and the encouragement of his people.